Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
And welcome to the show. It's a different day than we normally broadcast today, Thursday. So hopefully we're going to be getting a lot of callers. And we are going to be starting the show today with our topic, since we didn't even get to it the last show. We got kind of inundated with callers, which is great, but we want to start off and then take our calls. So those of you who are in the queue, please be patient. We will be discussing our topic and then getting to your calls. Everybody that's in the queue currently will be getting a reading. We want to invite you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook account is linked under our profile, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and there are two accounts on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, as well as Neil Baker Psychic. And you may like or follow us or send us a friend request, whatever you choose. Also, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and get our show schedule updates and things like that. So that, I think, is all. We're going to be on a normal schedule next week. So this is our final show of the week for this week. And so, well, we're discussing, Neil, the dark side of light today.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to, the light are going to be experiencing dark coming up shortly, I think.
Sounds like a contradiction, isn't it? The dark side of light. The dark side of light is actually it's as much a psychic and mental phenomena, moral and ethical, as it is the idea that as human beings, we are constantly conflicted, sometimes by circumstance and sometimes by internal conditions within our own mind. So when we talk about the dark side of light, we're actually talking about some of the moral and ethical decisions we need to make, assuming that we're basically morally and ethically adjusted people, human beings. And oftentimes we come to a crossroad in our life where we have to make or do tough things. So how often do we see good people doing the wrong thing or making decisions that are wrong? People who are in high office that do things wrong. The dichotomy of the duality, if you will, of doing the very opposite thing of what you are adjusted to thinking and doing that is considered light and energy is one of the conditions that we're talking about in terms of this dark side of light. And I think we all come into the planet with, we all face at some point in our life a crisis of such a substance here. So what does that mean in regard to our energy? Do we come into this world with already a built-in blueprint that there will be a darkness to our light of energy? That those who are doing the right thing will slip and fall purposely according to karma, or maybe be reduced to drugs or alcohol or adultery or whatever it may be in terms of the decisions one must make, theft, lying. All of these things are part of the light, the dark side of lightness, when we get into that element. And as we move higher into the element of thinking and consciousness, we get into the realm of what is our true belief system? How far does our faith go? Does our light only go so far until we start disbelieving in the universe and God? this is also a great matter of the human soul, probably as it was even during the Holocaust, where the question was, where is God? And there are many people who went through that Holocaust experience questioning the existence of God. So can we also consider that part of the darkness of light? It becomes a crucial question, because it's the very nature of transcending the parameters of earthly wisdom and knowledge and going to such a high place that no matter what degree you are on in life, whether it's the lowest of low or the highest of high, where does darkness play a part in your thinking and in your actions? And it's always those rare individuals that remain in the light, regardless of what's going on around them. So that's what our general topic is. Now, as it's related to the concept of our birth date, some of those codes are already embedded.
As part of
the blueprint, if you will,
and
of what the challenges may be.
And the dichotomy between light and dark is often in birth date.
It is often in birth dates, and sometimes it can be measured by the very degree of the variance between numbers,
mm-hmm.
as long as we're talking about birth dates being codes. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the variance of numbers. Sometimes it has to do with the conflict between two numbers that are the same energy, like two 11s being together.
Right.
1-1.
Or you mean two ones being together.
Two ones being together. But even in the form of two 11s being together, in terms of someone being born like 1911 and they were born January 1st.
Yeah, so, right. So on the other side of the birth date. Or even if you have two high numbers.
Yeah.
On either side of the birth date, for instance, or even, you know, a 7 on one side and a 7 on the other.
Yeah. So, you know, somebody may say, well, then, you know, you can interpret a birth date any way you want because, you know, the numbers can mean anything. And so, therefore, they really lose their general purpose and control of definition.
But when we talk about interpreting a birth date, it's not only reading a code and the associated definitions with that code, but it's also, you know, applying the third eye to the birth date. So those that have a gift of looking at a birth date can see the nuances in the birth date without, you know, making generalizations.
Well, it's the same thing, but there's also a very important variable, and that is the human element itself, who the person is in relation to the numbers that they've been dealt with in their life. So you're given something, let's say you're given a family, you're given a job, you're given a car, you give these things, and then it's the measurement is how you treat it. Do you drive the car too fast? Do you drink and drive? Do you not observe the rules of the road? Do you have a family and abuse them or minimize them or lie and cheat? Do you have a job and do the same thing? So it's not so much that, we are given things in life, some earned, some inherited. But it's our treatment, it's our interaction with our surrounding environment that also produces this element of light and dark. And when we get into the darkness of light, we also get into the concept of what corruption is. If we go to the very essence of existence itself, existence is corruption because the body corrodes. It ages. It dies. So this element that if we look at the body itself, when we look at life itself, we can say, well, there's darkness in life because life comes to an end. So some things are inevitable, just as we don't have an eternal day. We have night that comes today, just like we don't, not every day do we feel elated and high and we have days where we're depressed or sad. So these are things that contribute to the idea of what darkness is in light, just on a surface level.
Right. So the planet Earth is a planet of duality in essence. This is not a planet of all light. And even the astral realm has duality in it. I mean, you know, when you get into higher realms, there's more purity of light. But, you know, we're dealing with dichotomy here.
Even in the higher realms, we have conflict, you know.
Well, obviously there's a war in heaven, but.
So when do we finally transcend the darkness? Where is that state of existence? We don't quite know yet. we can allude to it through certain texts and things like that, where there is suggestions that there will be light and a new heaven and no evil, no darkness. But what does that really mean? And where is this?
Exactly.
Place?
Where is
in
it?
In what realm? So we really don't have access to that full information. And I don't think there's anyone on the planet that really can locate where that specific area is, because as far as we're in these finite bodies, these physical bodies with brains that are encased in our bodies, we're not going to have absolute knowledge of such things. So we're still locked in this idea constantly of the element of light and darkness that reigns throughout our life. So when we deal with light, and you know, come to think of it too, a lot of spiritual leaders go into darkness, very inspired people go into darkness.
You mean in terms of their personal life, are you talking about? Are you
their
talking about
personal life? They abuse the congregation, they sleep with somebody.
I mean.
You know,
so we're talking about moral and ethical darkness,
yeah.
with people who we expect more of because they're in these positions of leadership.
And then we finally get to a place where we talk about the light and darkness of each individual chakra system. So someone can be very enlightened in the seventh chakra and have darkness
in the second.
And so, you know, or have darkness in the first. And they're very enlightened, but you know, the evidence of having money is very important to them, overabundance of money. So we get into this concept and we have to really take account of our own lives and really measure how much darkness is there in our light. And I think we all have a personal responsibility to decrease the darkness as much as we can and increase the light, even at the cost of some risk of security, for the sake that there is an enlightened being within us, a enlightened soul, a spirit that prevails over anything that would otherwise be adverse to the higher aspects of spirituality. So that's where the darkness and light concerns. We can get
Let's get to this caller and we can get back to our little chat here in a moment. We'll bring 505 on. Hello, 505.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tricia.
Oh, hi, Tricia.
Hi.
It's been a while. And what is your birth date, Patricia?
It's 1/24/1963.
If I remember correctly, you're something like 27/9/4/5/6/7/26/8. Well, I'm close. I think I always got that mixed up with you. What's going on?
Oh, no, I was just listening, and my birthday's coming up. And
oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you, and I just wanted to see if you could tap into anything coming up for me. I'm really looking for freedom. I've been taking care of a sister in a nursing home, and she's combative, and they had to
What's
change
her birthday, Patricia?
I think it's 10/10/1956.
Wow, that's a lot of controversial energy in it with those zeros and the 11s. Why is she in a nursing home?
Well, she's got some mental problems, and they have to take her out of that nursing home and put her into a behavioral health. And I've been with her throughout my whole life, and I'm just really tired, and I just want to let go of it. And I'm just wondering if I'm going to have some freedom from that, you know, or anything good coming up for me now in this cycle of my birthday.
Okay, so she has she always been in this kind of challenged position in mental health? So this is something from birth type of thing, or young youth?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, are you the only caregiver in the family?
Yeah, I have a big family, but I'm the only one that has stepped forward and been there to help her. And,
good for you.
You know,
that's good that you have, you know.
And I'm just ready to move on and just let
it. Patricia, what is the nature of her? Is she schizophrenic? What is she?
I think there's some schizophrenic, and there's been some abuse in her childhood that I feel that she never passed. She never dealt with. And
Well, so, you know, we don't want to belabor the point of how that your life is only measured by your connection to your sister, but let me explain something real quickly. The 8 and 5, you're a master number 8 and she's a master number 5, which comes to 13 or 4. 4 is in your day of 24. It's also in your first and last numbers of 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there is something in the blueprint of the story between you and your sister that was already there before birth. And your continual commitment, aside from the fact that it's not really conducive to the flow of your higher life. I mean, this isn't what you would choose to do, is to take care of your sister and to compromise your existence while you're doing it, even though it's out of love and devotion and all that. But by choice, you wouldn't have said, hey, gee, I can't wait to take care of my mentally challenged, whatever it is, psychologically challenged sister. Boy, that's just what I came down to do. No, but by karmic, by the dynamic principles of karmic energy, yeah, there's a reason for it.
And they have an 11 between them in the months.
Yeah, the names are somewhat interchangeable.
And then the 2-0 in their days. I mean, there's some.
So, you know, it's unfortunate, but we all have our cross to bear, if you will, and this may be part of it. But let's get to another matter, aside from the fact that we already know about that one, and that one will probably be on a continuous basis. But it doesn't mean that your life has to be off balance, that you can't seek enjoyment coming up and have some provision of pleasure.
She's going to be 54.
Yeah.
And that's in her, she's kind of, that 54 is in her birth date, 2 and 3, her month, and then the fire number, 54, comes to 54.
It's in her birth date, yes. What happened with you, Patricia, is that your karma was, the intensity of some of your karma was at 26.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So
yeah.
What happened to 26?
Oh, boy. I got back with the man that I felt that I needed to marry. I married him. Of course, we're divorced now. that's when it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the turnover point.
So already we know you're coming in with some trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So we are known, but don't worry, you know, this is going to mean that your whole life is trouble. Now, what happened at 52?
I was divorced by then.
Yeah. Did you get divorced at 52, or were you just already divorced?
I got divorced at 50.
You got divorced at 50, but did anything happen at 52 that you can remember, move or relationship, anything?
No, I became more... spiritual.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the allowance of a window, I went from 26 and then I went to 52, and I was within the range of calculating the divorce energy. Don't forget, your 26 equals 8. That's not a multiple of 8. 24 is. So that's a difference of 2, you see. 26 equals 8 is your combination of karma and master number, but the multiples of 8 would be 24, not 26. That's a difference of 2 via the difference between 50 and 52. Get my gist there? Do you understand it?
I've thought about that.
Yeah. So your master number 8 is not divisible. 26 is not divisible by 8, and yet your life goes in sequences of 8, but with 2-year differences often.
So she's 50, when she turns 56,
yeah.
There's going to be
a change. And 58. So we're looking at a journey between 54 and 56, where you're probably going to be involved in a relationship, but not one that's it's going to be challenging. Relationship are challenging. All right, so challenging. So you measure what is challenging. I wouldn't say that it's a negative challenge. It might be crucial. challenge. Are you single right now?
Yes.
Let me ask you something. Mother or father, any alcohol problem?
Yes. Yes.
When I said are you single right now and you went, yes, your voice and your hesitation suggested to me that there was an alcohol problem with mother or father. That's what I got from your voice.
Okay.
It's just a psychic thing, okay? And what was the nature of that problem?
Alcohol was never, he was never abusive or anything, but he did drink alcohol. But it never affected his work or our family life. However, my mother had some very bad psychological issues, and I think a lot of it was because of him.
Okay. Well, there's an alcohol stream of energy going through there to some degree, and it becomes a then becomes problematic between the connection between mother and father on a psychological level. What this is, Tricia, we're in Patricia, what this is that we're in a very the complexity regarding your question, what's going to happen, is not an easy answer. Because we're dealing with two things. We're dealing with a form of change towards relationship, but also a new degree of complications to work out. So you will be entering a relationship, but in that relationship, you will have new complexities to deal with. Maybe new, but also old. And that's going to be part of the process of think what's coming up immediately. There's probably more, but we don't have time to go into
the depth of it. Yeah, we've got another caller, Patricia, and we've got to keep the reading somewhat limited on the radio. But if you have more questions, you can call 562-596-7818. But hopefully that was helpful to you.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that very much. I'll call
you're
again.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So we have another caller, Neil, 720.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Well, you're picky. Hi.
Who's this? My name is Cassildra.
How do you spell that?
It's Cassildra.
Oh, it's just D-R-A. It's just like it sounds.
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
Not to Neil, because he thought the D was a B, but other than that.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, Cassildra?
I'm actually calling from Denver.
Denver, and this is your first time caller.
Yes, I am.
Great.
Denver.
And what,
yes.
Cassildra, is your birth date, please?
October 27, 1976.
1976. And what brings you to the show today?
I was just directed to call in, so just following spirit. But my question would be, though, I would like to know more on this relationship that I am involved with.
Okay.
I've been involved with for almost 2 years. And,
all right.
And just see what to expect or where are we going with this.
Where are you going with it? You just turned 40, right?
Yeah, I did.
All right. That just in October, so you're newly 40.
Yes. Yes,
great.
I am. Brand new to the big 4-0.
What is your what is the person that you're interested in or having a relationship with? What's that person's birth date?
0907.
Oh, don't put wait. Don't put a zero where it doesn't belong. You don't need to say the zero if there's no zero there.
Okay.
So 97, because that adds a kind of a negative energy that doesn't need to be there. It's a zero, you know? So 97.
1973.
All right. Interesting. 16, 26, 36, 9. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so Cassildra, I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I'm going to say it now. When you started talking before you gave the birth dates, I wrote down 9 and then 6. So your master number is 33 equals 6. Your boy, is this your boyfriend?
Yes, he is.
Your boyfriend's master number is 9. So I wrote those down before you gave them to me. So I got both of those numbers. It's funny. And he's 36-9, and he is 43 years old, correct? 43.
Yes.
Okay. Well, interesting. Your birth dates are interesting because your years are interchangeable. So you're seven in your year to his 3 becomes his year 73. His 7 to your 6 becomes your year 1976. You both have the same fire number 7. Your day 27 becomes his month 9. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. I'm sure Neil's going to find some other stuff that you can share with her. Your first and last becomes his day 7. 1 and 6 is 7. And the 2 to your 7, his 7 in his day to your 2 becomes your day 27. So there's a lot of comments. There's a past life. There's a past life.
There's a past life.
But there's possibility for transcendence in this life with the birth dates.
Yeah.
On the transcendent side.
The problem, the problem that your two-year relationship and you're wanting to, your two-year relationship, you're wanting to know where it's going. There's a little bit of relationship difficulties that this guy has in terms of getting the relationship to be locked into something on a deeper level that's very serious that would prompt the relationship to move forward.
That's the 11 and the 7-3-1. The year 1973 is an 11. Sorry, go ahead, Neil.
So have you experienced any kind of feeling from him that he's stuck or hesitant about moving the relationship forward? Has that occurred to you?
Yes.
So, and if he wasn't that way and he wanted to move it forward and he was progressive about it, would you be agreeable to that?
Yes.
Yeah. So our interpretation is that there is a difficulty going on in this man's psyche about feeling comfortable and grounded in a relationship that, short of him getting confused in the health aspects of what a relationship means, what kind of responsibility it brings. A lot of people, as they move into a relationship, they, you know, some on a primitive level, they just want a relationship for sex. So it's just sexual. Mm-hmm. Then emotions come in. Then children come in. All kinds of things come in. And either the parties are going to stay together or one party is going to say, you know what, this is too much for me. I just want a light sexual relationship. I don't need all these complications. Too much responsibility. I'm getting bogged down. So it becomes problematic. And somewhere in that line of thinking, your partner is having difficulty about moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there some possibility that it can work? I mean, there's interchangeable years.
There is a possibility it can work because remember, you're a 6 and he's a 9. Are you with us right now? Are you listening?
Yes, I am. Yes.
He was your energy 3 lifetimes ago. He was a 33 = 6 3 lifetimes ago. And for some reason, that would be like the life you're having now. For some reason, he didn't succeed. So he came back and then he came back and then he came back. So he came back 3 life. You know, that was 36. But if you notice, his last number is 3 and yours is 6.
It's his karmic number.
He's coming back and joining with you to figure out what he did wrong when he was a 33 = 6. He's actually connected to you to figure out what's going wrong with him. And if he can figure that out with you, then he can resolve the energy that he had in that previous lifetime. And the two of you can be joined together because 9 and 6 becomes a 15, which equals 6, which is your master number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like a course study, Cassildra. It's like a course study that you're looking, when you enter our psychic hour, Krista and I, you're getting into a classroom. We're teachers. We just don't blurt it out. The idea, a good healthy prediction is based on good healthy knowledge. And there is a way to systematically analyze the future. It takes deep calculation. Sure, I can sit here, Kristen can sit here, we can just say, okay, you know, here's the future, here's what's going to happen. But the purity of a psychic mind is also calculated by a sheer deliberation of facts and figures. And so in regard to your connection to this man, there, it is worthy of study because it's a classical example of how two human beings come on the same planet, they're joined, and yet their numbers are diverse. And yet the unity is connected by karma, short of transcendence or the idea of transcending together into a uniform likelihood that sometimes is complicated by the very nature of the karma itself.
Uh-huh.
And this man is somewhat stuck in that regard because you see how his numbers go down, 9773.
Yeah.
Yours goes 102776. But your number ends on your master number preceded by a number higher. His last two numbers are lower than his master number, 9. And so we have to get into the idea that, well, you know, there's something he has to figure out. And does your boyfriend, did he ever smoke cigarettes?
Yes, he does smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. Mm. So you see, I don't know you, first time caller. I don't know your boyfriend. So what happens in the active language between a human being and guides and angels and psychic energy, we get instant conversation. And so there was an element out there in the astral realm that told me he smoked, which means that this is the beginning of a dialogue in terms of trying to figure out what to do with it.
Right. Is there anything else that Casildra wants to share with us about the relationship to add to the conversation before we move on to the next caller?
I feel like our challenge with our relationship is Cation. I feel like he has been through so much in the past that where he's like kind of suppressed himself and detached from people. So at this point, he has to learn that trust, you know, with me, that, you know, loyalty is here, you know what I mean? And we can communicate, you know, we can get through this, you know what I mean? Instead of holding it in, you know, and just not, you know, self-expression. You know, it's what I feel that is
well
needed.
Your problem is going to be in his there's got to be a trigger for him to be motivated to start to look at himself and to move forward. All of your good efforts, you can get out of the car and push it from the back, but you're not going to be able to make that car move very far. So your efforts are going to be very frustrating. Noteworthy, maybe important to some extent. You're there, but this man needs to get out of the car too. He needs to get out of the car and the conditions of his thinking and his upbringing and his trials and tribulations and his depression and get going.
And you're talking.
And that's where I think we have our the complexity of our problem.
And the challenge is, again, you talked about the descent in his numbers rather than the essence that she has and the balance between the master number, even though there's a slight drop. That's part of his problem is that, you know, it's a downward motion, not an upward.
It's going to be a tough journey there. No great promises, but there is a connection, and I don't think it's quite over yet in terms of being it too late to make things happen, but it's going to be very complex coming up.
And Casildra, you're welcome to call the show again, or you can call 562-597-8818 for more conversation. We'd love it if you joined us on Facebook. We appreciate the support. The account's linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. But it was nice to meet you. We're glad you found us.
Thank you. And you all have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care. Okay, 362 and then I'm sorry, 262 area code and then 303. I'm getting a little tongue-tied. I don't know if these people want a reading because their hand's not raised. Who's this? Do you want to speak with us?
Hi, this is Corey.
Okay, hi, Corey. Yes.
called you guys in the past.
Yeah, I remember you, Corey. What's your birth date, though? I don't remember that.
5/4/84.
5/4/84. What's going on?
I'm still dealing with this paranoia situation with this just vibrating in my ear and not being able to sleep and just my liver, just a lot of weird stuff going on.
Is there like a radio playing in the background or a TV? I'm hearing some background noise.
No.
Yeah, we hear.
Yeah,
we hear
there's
a
voice.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we're hearing the noise.
Yeah,
that you're
exactly.
Hearing.
Exactly. It's transmuting
yeah.
to us.
This is nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be something. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there is something going on with you. I mean, there's obviously something going on with you, Corey, that where this paranormal activity is occurring. Let me ask you something. Throughout your life, throughout your own life, any drugs, medications, hallucinogenics, mild, pot, anything in your lifetime?
Not really, no.
Not really. What does that mean? You're saying not really, so that means
any
there's something.
Any small episodes of experimentation?
Maybe one or two times.
And what was
minor.
That? What was that? Corey?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the one or two times that you experimented? What were you doing?
First, you have a doctor take care of the situation.
Drop them off. You can find the only death.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, if you're having trouble recollecting, the idea, the psyche, the mind is an electrical energy too. Electrical circuits, the brain, it's sending out impulses. Those impulses go out, and for sure, there are dimensions out there and realms out there that we interact with that we don't see.
Has he ever been? I was just wondering on the before you go there. Mm-hmm. Medication? Has he been prescribed anything? Anything? Have you been prescribed anything, Corey?
Yeah.
What have you been prescribed?
Klonopin.
Klonopin, which is like a benzodiazepine, right?
Yeah.
So it helps. It helps you not have anxiety. It's an anti-anxiety.
Yeah. Again, Corey, was there turmoil in your upbringing? Did mom and dad argue? Anything? Any? Loud noise in the family growing up?
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I get it to some extent. So we kind of get where you're coming from.
Yeah, we are even hearing a rogue noise, which is very strange that, we don't know where that's coming from.
I don't know.
Did
you
hear
know?
It? I'm just wondering. There's like
he says he doesn't hear it. So, I don't know, Corey. Are you seeking any psychological help now? Do you have a therapist? Anybody you feel connected to?
Yeah.
Is it a male or female?
Female.
Are you happy with her? Does she seem to get where you're coming from?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Have you thought about changing your therapist, or is that possible?
Yeah.
You might want to try that. And do you have any, did you have any upbringing with a dog? I mean, was there any dogs in your life?
Yeah.
And was this dog really close to you? Did you connect well with this dog?
Yeah.
It's interesting, Corey. I think what one thing I would do if I were you, and I'm hoping we're connecting, you and I, and Kristen and I, and yourself, that there is a possibility that you might I don't want to get things too confusing here, but you might want to investigate a different therapist.
You think his therapist is not doing the well? Yeah, I mean, if he's having these symptoms, there's some
I'm not saying your therapist is ineffective.
To explore,
but if you're not feeling connected to your therapist, that's a problem. You need to feel connected to a therapist. And I don't know. Do you have the means to change your therapy?
Yeah.
How are you, like, are you employed or anything like that? Are you getting benefits through your employer to see therapists? I mean, do you have insurance and things like that?
Yeah, I have insurance, yeah.
And mm-hmm. you are you working?
No.
Mm-hmm. But are you comfortably, financially speaking,
right
are you
now,
secure?
You can't come to my house anymore.
What?
Hang on.
Are you secure financially? Are you okay in your home? Are you stable?
I'm serious, Corey. On my mother's grave. What are you doing?
No.
Well, I think that, you know, you've got to investigate, Corey, a good therapist. See if there's anything you can do to maybe change. I might suggest for you a male therapist. Just if that's possible, because there needs to be a different kind of bonding between you and your therapist and a different kind of dialogue, maybe than what you've been experiencing. So that would be the first step towards our constructive dialogue with you in that regard. Do you live with anybody? Do you live with your mother or your father?
Yeah.
And do you live with your mother?
Yes.
Well, you know, here's what we want to do before we get too involved in your living situation. You've got to find a good male therapist. That's our first step, Corey. And maybe from there, we can get something moving for you that might be more constructive for you than your current situation is providing for you. Okay, but we're here for you. If you ever need
us, we're here for you, Corey.
Our radio show is here for you, so you don't need to feel alone in that respect. And look forward to looking at that. I'm hoping I'm connecting to you, and there's some basis of validity that you can maybe investigate a different therapist.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is psychological. I think, like, something was implanted in me.
That's fine. But you need to, you know, if that's the case, Corey, you need to connect to a therapist that understands that concept.
Right, rather than downplaying what you're experiencing and categorizing it as something else other than what you're, you know, experiencing.
Hang up the phone.
Okay.
Okay, Corey. Well, good luck. You're always welcome to call.
Okay, don't worry, Corey. Just, you know, in terms of your dialogue about the implant and things, just hang in there. And look for a therapist that can understand that dialogue.
Okay.
Call us anytime, okay? All right. 303 is our next, then. We have 208. Hello, 303, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tessa.
Oh, Tessa. Hi.
Yes. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
What's your birth date again, please?
It's 5382.
Okay.
Who's this?
Tessa. 28101.
Tessa.
Yeah, she hasn't called for a while, but she used to call the show.
And what's her birthday?
5382. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Tessa. Happy New Year. I just haven't called in for a while and thought
no.
I would.
Okay. What's going on?
I was just wondering if you have any messages for me from somebody who has passed over.
Okay. Someone who has passed over.
Well, my mom passed away about a year ago. So I was just curious
to see if there's any.
Oh, thank you.
Any messages from Mother Neal?
Well, you know, when you said you have any messages from anyone, first of all, first step, I felt it was a female. Okay, so we got that far. Sometimes I even fall into this category of stereotyping dialogue between people who have crossed over and how I deliver a message. But the first thing she says is that she's under a bed of roses. Now that, I don't know, did you observe recently her death with roses or flowers, or is there any rose connection or flower connection between you and her?
Well, my middle name is Rose.
Oh.
Oh. Okay, so your middle name is Rose. So what she's telling me in our crude connection here, but connection nonetheless, is that she's calling out your middle name and saying she's buried under your middle name. So, but what she's really saying is that she's involving herself with you in the idea of roses, alluding to your middle name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, alluding to your middle name, but also trying to convey that she is in a rosary, in a rose energy. It's actually a more of a positive concept of her being on the other side and connecting to you in regard to her crossing over. She's saying, "I'm in a rosary energy, and you are my rose."
Oh, how sweet. Okay.
Now, was there
cancer
in this?
That makes a lot of sense.
Was this cancer?
It was diabetes.
Oh, diabetes. It was a health-related issue.
An illness-related issue is what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was health, not like she got hit by a car or something. So she's telling me the number five. Now, are there five people in the family? That's your month.
But maybe
but
there's
any other
fives.
Is there anything other than your month?
What's your birthday?
Not that I'm.
What's your mother's birthday, Tessa?
Oh, it was July 24th. July 21st, 51, I believe.
July 21st, 51. Interesting.
36.
Oh, no, sorry. 53.
Uh-huh. 10/20/28.
Same as you. No, she's 7/21, right? 7/21, 53. 10/28, 10/1, yeah.
She's the same as you, the same master number as you.
But that's not the five. But anyway.
Well, the
five
is
in the year.
In the year.
Right.
But she's born 53 and her month and day is 5/3.
I wonder if there's any, yeah, but
no,
I do
no,
think
that's
it.
So she's relating to the both of you have a five in your energy. And the five is related to the 53 in your month and day.
She
and the 53.
She suddenly dropped.
In her year.
Okay, so what we're going to do, if we have time to get back to Tessa, we will. If she calls back, but sure, she just, I think there was a problem with the connection. So let's bring on 208 and we'll get back to her if she calls back. Who's this?
Hello, this is Megan.
Hi, Megan. Megan? Mm-hmm. Spell your name for us. I'm not going to guess. There are lots of variations to Megan.
Yes, M-E-G-A-N.
Oh, it's just the regular Megan. Okay, Megan, where are you calling from?
Calling from Oregon.
Okay.
Whereabouts?
Where in Oregon? If you don't mind.
Eastern Oregon.
Eastern Oregon. Okay. Megan, what's your question?
I have a question about work. I'm in between jobs. I've just put in my 2 weeks' notice at my other job, which was really, really stressful and just not something I was willing to be in anymore. And and I'm just looking for the next thing that's coming up.
Okay, so Megan, what is your birthday? I forgot to ask.
12/4/86.
86. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 17, and 14. She's a 31/4. And you are... We've spoken with you before, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I remember you. It took me a couple minutes, but I remember you. And what type of work are you doing? I think you probably already told us.
I was working at a hotel at front desk, and currently I'm doing a little bit more healing work, but it's not very lucrative right now because I'm just getting started out, and it's not something to lean back on by any means.
Right. Didn't you have a situation with your boyfriend? I'm remembering that we've talked to you about before. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think, Neil?
Well, your question was it's stressful. You're leaving a stressful job and you're in between jobs and you're trying to be a healer and you're not making a lot of money.
And I'm just going to interject that Tessa's back. So we're going to be getting back to her call in just a moment. So Tessa, hang in there for a couple minutes.
You're in a rude transition, 31-4. How old are you right now?
30.
You're in a rude transition until 30.
30.
It's not going to be easy.
Until 31.
She's 30 now.
Right. So until 31.
Yeah. You're in a rude transition until 31. It's not going to be an easy one. But so what? You know, I don't think that that's the problem, that it's a rough transition. I think that what I'm looking at, when you turn 31, you have you're going to be in a better mindset. So what you have to do you want to be a healer? Is that your ambition?
Yes, healer and working with sound healing as well. Or just
sound
any
healing?
Vocal work, really.
Well, study hard, Megan, study hard and work hard. And enjoy the idea that you are pursuing what you love to do. And if it takes that you have to support yourself with some kind of menial work, that's just, you know, the steps getting to the floor you're on, you know, you don't live on the steps. It's not always fun to climb it or fly the stairs. But if the stairs take you to the place you want to be, consider the steps as just the jobs you have to do to get by. So I would say, yeah, find something less stressful. You will. You have an 8 in your year. You're not going to have a problem finding something. It may not be something you totally enjoy, but the steps to the ladder, steps to your platform of being a healer through sound is legitimate.
She has kids too, so that's another complication.
Yes.
You have children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, one child.
How many?
One.
Two?
One. So that's that's
you have one child. You don't have two?
Yeah, no, I just have the one.
Just one.
And was there anything lost along the way? You know, any child, other pregnancies, anything?
There have been some unconfirmed things that have happened.
I got it.
Yeah.
I was thinking too for some reason also.
Megan, what kind of... You need to find work to sustain yourself, and you need to increase your knowledge in sound therapy and sound healing. Great, great place to go. I think you're going to make it there. That's my vibe. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, but you need to get a job in the meantime. I might suggest something in regard to books, bookstore, or even something in regards to some sort of political system, believe it or not. That's where I think you should head towards in terms of looking for some supplementary work to support yourself.
Okay.
Okay, hey, Megan, we have to move on because we're nearing the end of the show. We've got to bring Tessa back on and finish her. So we appreciate your call. Let us know how it progresses, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck. All right, and we're going to finish off, you're very welcome, with Tessa here. Sorry, you disconnected.
Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hi.
So where did we leave off? Do you know what the last thing that was
Yeah, called? I just to tell you my mother's birthday is 7/21/53.
Right, so you guys are both 28/10/1s, and the 5 that was mentioned is all is in her year. So that's the 5.
Yeah. And so connecting the major issue of the connection comes in the way of Rose. being your middle name, and then the connotations surrounding it, which I think are positive connotations. She's also talking about a jewelry box or some form of jewelry.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I'm starting a company that's a jewelry design company, and it's called Tiger Rose.
So I have the rose.
A bunch of jewelry. Yeah.
So the rose that I got and the jewelry that I got is her blessing to you from the other side that you're going to be successful in your jewelry design company, Kaiser Rose.
Tiger Rose.
Oh, Tiger. Tiger Rose.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you're happy? You got a connection?
Yeah, that was great. That was perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Great, Tessa. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we are essentially out of time, Neil.
Yeah.
So that's it for the week.
Essentially out of time. Essentially out of time.
Well, I mean, we've got a
minute
left.
Time is essential.
Time is essential.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. I mean, 12 p.m. Eastern. I always get that messed up. I was so used to saying 10 a.m., 1 p.m. Eastern for so long, but we changed our hours, 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and that's Wednesday next week. Have a great rest of the week and weekend, everybody. We will speak with you then. Bye-bye.